Well, today we're looking at Psalm 43, and if you've ever been in a situation in which some person or persons has turned against you and seems to be out to ruin you, then you know that there is a sense in which you feel helpless and hopeless, and life in such moments is not a joy, and it produces this deep depression, and your stomach churns, your head aches, and there's a tension that is very lasting and very real. I don't think there's any greater stress in life than when someone has targeted you and is out to get you. Whether on the job, in school, in home, or in church, when this kind of thing happens, life becomes long and becomes lonely. Now, bullying is not new to our day. It was very real in the times of the Bible. And one man who really experienced that at a huge level was David. And when David wrote Psalm 43, he was totally depressed to the level that even his countenance showed it. David was no phony. He wasn't going to be a play actor. He was the real thing. And when he was happy, you knew it. And when he was depressed, then you saw it. And the truth is, David did have much to be discouraged about. There were great numbers of people who wanted him out of the picture. And as a result, David had to flee to the mountains to hide out like some evil, ruthless bandit. He was alone and depressed, and he needed help. And I think this teaches us something, and that is, if we are a person after God's heart trying to understand and apply what the scriptures say, we're going to have low moments. We're going to have times of discouragement and alienation. Martin Luther said the Christian is like a goose tied up over a wolf pit. The wolves keep jumping at the goose but are never able to get it because God is protecting them. And one key thing to observe at the end of this psalm is verse 5, is that when the psalm ends, David apparently had not been delivered from his pressures, but he had somewhat been delivered from his depression and discouragement. And the key to this was not so much a change in his circumstances, but a change in his thinking, specifically in the way he thought about God. Warren Wiersbe said this: "The most important thing about any difficult experience is not that we get out of it, it is what we get out of it." And a great lesson to be learned from this psalm is this: the key to our coping with discouragement brought on by our enemies is to continually pray to God and continually maintain hope in God that he will eventually deliver us and turn our sorrow into joy. One of the things that God uses troubles and trials to accomplish is to cause us to have a greater dependency on him. God will apparently permit different enemies to come into our lives at different times so that we will depend on him for deliverance from those enemies. Moments of discouragement can become moments of development. This is what this psalm is about. So take a look. In times of discouragement, it's critical that we pray to God. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 43. "Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" This word vindicate is one in Hebrew that means to make a judicial ruling type of judgment, to litigate a matter in order to determine condemnation or commendation. Now, by using the pronoun me as the object of the vindication, David is asking God to specifically analyze his situation and cause and judge it. He was not afraid of God's judgment. He was not afraid of God's litigation because he knew he had done nothing wrong to deserve what was happening to him. The highest court of appeal to whom we can appeal is not the Supreme Court. It is the sovereign God. And David asked God to analyze his cause and case and make a judgment. And there's two assumptions that David makes when he prays this prayer. He assumes that he's in the right and the rest of the people are wrong. And there are times when the majority is wrong. All we have to do is to look at what happened to Barabbas. The multitude were crying, "Crucify Jesus and let Barabbas go free." The majority was evil and it was wrong. And God is also a just and righteous judge. God knows exactly what's happening and is in a position to make a judicial judgment. David was being attacked by an ungodly nation that for the most part was being led in an ungodly way, which was in total opposition against David. Furthermore, take a look at the adjectival description of the kind of person who is making his life miserable. This was a deceitful and unjust man. There's a close connection between those unjust and those deceitful people who aren't interested in truth, aren't interested in telling the truth. Those who are unjust are those who are deceitful. David is praying and asking God to deliver him and vindicate him, and there's reasons why. First of all, because God is the one who can give him strength, and he hasn't given it yet. God is able to give strength to his people no matter what they face. He's able to give peace to his people in every circumstance. Strength to be able to cope with difficult things in life comes from God. And because David was being oppressed by many enemies, there was no possible way David could fight all of his enemies. His only hope was that God would fight for him. So that is exactly what David asked God to do. David was being antagonized by godless people and was not sensing God's presence. So what David did was to go directly to God about the situation. We may expect to see many more blessings and victories when we pray more. When we're surrounded by those hurtful and hateful, there is always one thing we can do, and that is to pray and ask God for his help. But then we see a prayer for instruction and guidance. Look at verse 3. Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. This is quite amazing, but in the midst of dark times, David came to the realization that he could still glow. He asked God to let him see and understand God's truth and to lead him into a deeper relationship with him. Notice the reason why. If God would do this, we would have joy. What David longed to do was to go to the holy hill, which is where the house of God or the tabernacle was located. This tabernacle would eventually become Solomon's temple. This is a place where the lyre was used. The lyre was a stringed instrument with 3 to 12 strings. David wanted to be at God's dwelling place and worship because he knew this was a key to his happiness. God is our joy, and real happiness will be found as we go to church and grow in the Word of God. Troubles and trials should cause us to want to grow. Do you see and sense what is said here? Joy in the midst of trouble comes from a deeper relationship with God. Joy in the midst of trouble comes from a deeper understanding of God's truth. When we find ourselves surrounded by enemies and depressed, let us keep our focus on going deeper into the Word of God and drawing close to the Lord. And then lastly, in these times of discouragement, it's critical that we keep our hope in God. Look at verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Hope in the Bible is not, I hope so, but I hope knowing and believing so. A critical key to getting out of discouragement is to continue to hope in God and believe in him. And in his time, he will help. Even though there were troubles in the present, David had no doubt about the future. And there's lessons here. Godly people are going to get discouraged. Enemies of those godly are unjust and deceitful. And prayer is a critical key to a victory over enemies and over discouragement. Growth is a key, critical key to joy when surrounded by trouble. And hope is in God, which is a critical key to praise when surrounded by trouble.